So we welcome you tonight and even to tag team with Ted, whatever that's happening. And
we will. We're flowing in the same river.
Yep.
Yeah. It's good to be swimming. It's good to be swimming in the river of God. There comes a place when it gets a little higher than your ankles and your knees and your waist, and pretty soon you can't touch bottom. You got to let go. Oh, what do you do?
God gave us two wings. We swim, all right?
Wow. I had an interesting thing happen this morning. Any eagles here? Yeah. I went for a walk this morning. Probably some of you know this place out here. I think it's Columbia Avenue or something. I took a right hand from where we were staying. And I saw a sign that I've never seen before. I thought, wow, this is quite a sign. It said, Turkey Crossing. I thought, well, I shouldn't go this way. Maybe it's a setup, you know, for Thanksgiving or something. I don't know. And I thought, well, this is really humorous. This is really funny that somebody would put a sign up here in Castlegar, Turkey Crossing. I mean, there's probably not any turkeys around for miles, right? No sooner had I thought that than about 10 or 12 turkeys crossed in front of me. You know, they flapped around a little bit, you know, and scooted this way and skittered that way, and this car came, and I had to flag it down. You know, there I am. I'm a turkey crossing guy. But I think they've done that before. Because they ran around in the middle of the road, and then some of them scooted off back to where they'd come from, and then the other ones kept on going. And, man, they were flopping around, but none of them got off the ground. Isn't that amazing? And
no eagles there.
No eagles there. So I walked a little bit further and came back. Hey, you know, they did the same thing again. I mean, wow, these guys must have a death wish jammed up on somebody's table or something like that. I don't know. They were young. You guys know the Turkey Crossing here?
Yes. It's famous.
It's famous. Yeah, I do not know of another Turkey Crossing in all of this world. Have you ever ran into one before? No, I've never seen a turkey. Are these wild turkeys?
Yes.
They're wild turkeys. Here in the Kootenays. See, that just shows how long it's been since I've really been. Yeah, the smart ones can read. Well, these ones were smart. So it just encouraged me all the more. We need eagles rising. Yeah, eagles rising. Any eagles here? Yeah, you got two wings? Word in the spirit? Yeah? Oh, come on. Come on. It's simple, but it's not easy. What did we hear last night? Guy, what do you mean overcoming? Let's just take. I need some feedback. Overcoming.
That was all I had.
That's it. Oh, that's good. It's somebody build on it.
Mercy and grace.
Mercy and grace. That sounds like two wings. I can fly on those. Can you rise up on those? Yeah.
Mercy.
Mercy. Yeah. What was mercy?
Help.
they remembered that, Ted. No, somebody else. You were here last night. What did you hear? Was it really complicated?
No. We have a father who loves us.
There's two wings. Who are you?
Child of God.
I'm a child of God. I have a father who loves me.
Amen.
I tell you, you rise up and, oh, come on, stretch. You know, those turkeys, they never rose up. But eagles do. And, you know, I can testify that sometimes we're trying to make a crossing, and we got to rise up.
Amen.
And you will just not get from here to there on trying to flop around in something. You got to take the Word of God.
Yep.
You got to take it to heart. Let the Spirit of God make it come alive. Who are you? Anybody ever been tested in your identity? Yeah, that's where the enemy came against Jesus. If you are the Son of God, that's the one he hit him with. So if he's going to come at our Lord with that, he's going to come at our head with that, what about the rest of the body? Hey, come on. He's going to come at our identity And then, oh, does he really love you? Are you really his beloved son? I mean, come on, we need to know this.
Yes.
We need to hear it. We need to receive it. We need to walk in it. We need to rise up in it. Anybody else?
Yes,
that's a good thing. Yeah. All the promises in him are
yes
and
amen.
Amen. We take the word of God, all the promises. Come on, all the promises. Oh, you know, yeah, I'm trying to stretch your wings because eagles don't fly unless you stretch your wings. Anybody here, God has stretched you lately? Yeah, I seriously question whether or not you're doing anything in the kingdom unless you've been stretched. I've been stretched. You know? Well, thank God his word has come to me. And all I need to do is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? I'm human effort, yeah. Somehow I got to agree with it. I take it. I receive it. All the promises in him, Jesus Christ, are.
The Holy Spirit lands on him like a dove and he says, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Some of us need to be untrained from
no.
You know, we even go like this. Yes.
Yes.
It's confusing. Okay. All the promises in
amen.
Him are yes.
Yes.
And
amen.
We get to say amen. Amen. And just like that, we've entered into covenant. The covenant of God, God always honors his covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God.
That's right.
Covenants are not complicated.
Mm-mm.
Covenants are very simple. How often they're broken, though.
Yes, that's right.
And when they're broken, that means they're dishonored. And we're not able to walk in. I mean, the clearest thing I thought last night was that God wants to grow us up in loving one another. That's basically what I got from 1 John. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Over and over and over. You ever thought about why God has to keep on saying that? Over and over and over? Because sometimes we got turkey minds.
Yeah.
And we don't quite get it. Yeah?
Short memory.
We always think that there's something more complicated here. And God just wants to use that two-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit, and cut right through. Are you ready for that tonight?
Yes.
Yeah? I know God wants to do that here today. Because I've had an awesome confirmation already.
Thank you.
And Pastor Ted and Diane, we flow together in the same river, and some pretty amazing things happen sometimes. We've been through the battle of Bulgaria 3 times, and Macedonia, and God's doing great things. I'm off to Albania at the end of the month. And do Father's heart.
Same thing, what I'm just sharing with you right here.
Gonna do in a Muslim country.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know how Muslim it is anymore. It's been almost 20 years since I've been there. And I've been hearing great things. God is breaking through in all the earth. After that, in November, I get to Nepal. Used to be a Hindu country. Used to be. After that, I'm going to Thailand on the Burmese border. Used to be a Buddhist country. There's a lot of used-to-be religious places around. Why are they used to be? Because the Spirit of God is breaking through, and he's saying, yes! And people are going, yes, yes, there's a yes in this world? I want to know more. And former Hindu kingdoms are becoming part of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Buddhist kingdoms in Africa right now. Africa is on the verge of becoming a Christian continent. Oh! What does that mean? That doesn't mean everybody's saved in Africa. But in the last 100 years, it's gone from about 5% of the population to over 60%.
Amen.
I go to Nigeria. That's where the real battle between Islam in the north and the Christians in the south is going on. Oh yeah, there's real bullets flying sometimes. But you know where the real battle is? Is in the hearts of men.
Yes. Amen.
Women, children. You know, on the news, what do we hear? We hear about kidnappings. We hear about bombings, suicide bombings. And we go, oh, it's terrible. It's all coming to the end. Terrible times of the end times. And then people run around and they say all sorts of doomsday things. And my Bible says that surely
the knowledge of the glory of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what the word says. And he's covenanted with that. And he says, I am doing this thing. Are you going to be a part of it with me? Hello?
Yes.
Are you going to be a turkey wandering around in the middle of the road, roadkill?
Eagle.
Or are you going to be an eagle and rise up in this? Okay? So, take your Bibles. Take your Bibles. I don't know. Maybe you've got it on phone now. Open it up. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Know this chapter? Dry bones. Why is it called the chapter of the dry bones? Why isn't it called the chapter where the army of God rises up in victory? Because so often I think that's where we relate. We relate to the dry bones. And so it's become the chapter about the dry bones. But, I mean, you don't have to read too far, and there's no more dry bones around. What is there about our attention span that it's so short that we just read about dry bones and that's where we stop? And it becomes that in our mind. Okay? Chapter 37. My subtitle even says the dry bones live. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Any dry bones here? Live! Yeah, hear the word of God. Okay? The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. Set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Well, we need some sound effects here.
That's some dry bones coming alive.
That's it. Already? I haven't even finished the first verse. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very. Not just dry, but very, say it, very dry. Yeah, don't be afraid to participate here. Very dry. He said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? The ones you're looking at right now, they're dry. They're all randomly scattered in this dry valley, and these bones are very dry. Can they live? Can these bones live? Isn't it amazing how God gets very specific? First of all, he shows us this vision. He says, I want you to see this valley. It's low, and it's full of bones. They're dead, they're scattered, they're very dry, they're lifeless. But that's just three verses that I've read. You know, there's a whole setting to this. You know anything about Ezekiel? You know anything about his context? About 25 years before, he was just a young man. And he was in the second wave of refugees that was caught up by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. The first wave, Daniel and his brothers went to Babylon. The second wave, about 10 years later, Ezekiel gets carried away. He's just a young kid. At the beginning of his book, of Ezekiel, he's 30 years old. He comes to the age of maturity as a young Hebrew man. But he is in a very far off place. He is worse than a refugee, he's a slave. But he's also a priest. And so on the day that it was at 30 years old that he had a young Hebrew Levite could be called into the priesthood. He answers his calling. You ever read Ezekiel chapter 1? Oh, really amazing. I mean, he has a vision of the glory of God, the wheels within the wheels, and the faces with the lion and the ox and the man and the eagle. Oh, that's in there too. And the wheels are turning within wheels, and all of a sudden the presence of God comes, and whoa! All of a sudden he sees a throne with a rainbow around it. What does that sound like? Who saw the same thing many years later?
John.
John. John, well, Noah saw the rainbow too. That's right, Joe. But the rainbow around the throne, that's John in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, chapter 5. He's seeing the promise of that which was given in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. He's seeing it now fulfilled in the New Covenant. It takes Ezekiel 26 verses to get to the throne. John, in chapter 4 of Revelation, the first thing he sees is the throne. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we're part of the new covenant.
Amen.
You know, new covenant overcomers. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. We don't like that last part, okay? But it's there. In other words, it's going to cost you and I something. It cost Jesus something. It cost him everything. You know, if you're going to count the cost, let's not focus on, well, I don't know if I want to pay that, Jesus. Count the cost. Count how much it cost him. See, he had both wings. It was full of grace and truth. And he hung between heaven and earth. He became the mediator for you and me to bring that life of God, that kingdom of God to the earth. And it cost him his life. And what's the manifestation of the Son of God? Father, fry them. They know exactly what they're doing.
No.
It's Father, forgive them. They haven't got an idea of what they're doing. They are so far removed here. That's what John sees in the new covenant. It's just a fulfillment. This is what Ezekiel sees right at the beginning of his ministry. How would you like a revelation like that at the beginning of your ministry?
Yeah.
Later on, he gets a vision of the temple. Whatever time zone that's all in, but the last 8 chapters, all about the river of God and the temple of God and all the details. I mean, amazing the details that he gets in this. But that's from chapter 1 to chapter 40. We're in chapter 37. You know that Ezekiel never got to go home? Ezekiel never saw the fulfillments of his prophecies. He never saw the visions actually come to pass. He's at a dry place, possibly himself right here. He's kind of thinking, well, Lord, it's been 20 years now since you showed me that vision of the throne, and I haven't seen much happen. Now, at least Daniel remembered Jeremiah's prophecy 70 years. How many of you could last 70 years? I find that really hard. Yeah, I've been working on it. You know, I've been here just about 70 years. I haven't figured out everything about why I'm here. You know, some things are getting clearer. The basic things are getting clearer. I know who I am. Who are you? Really made it clear. What's my purpose? Hey, I got a daddy who loves me. I'm going to glorify him. Somehow, Lord, walk me through. Come on, give me wings to fly so I'm not just running around in the middle of the street here somehow. Taking up time, taking up space. I think Ezekiel was dealing with some pretty natural things here. He's had all of these visions. He's had all of these promises. They haven't come to pass. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in 20, 25 years. He's facing hopelessness. You know, down south, we have this saying, when you're past hope, you're in Hell's Gate, right? Mm-hmm. Up here, you guys don't have to know that, because, you know, but in its context. Hopelessness. Now, here's the definition of hopelessness. The light that you see at the end of the tunnel is a train. Can these bones live? That's what the Spirit of God asked them. At this place of real dryness in Israel's life, at this place of real dryness, even in Ezekiel's ministry, like, what'd you call me for, Lord? Sometimes I've had to face that as a pastor, to
Ted, you ever come up against that? You gotta know who you are. You gotta know who's called you. Not just as an individual, you gotta know who's called you as a church. Who's building a church?
Yes.
Jesus said, I will build my church. It's his church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Well, that sounds really good, right? Now, you can get that on Sunday morning. What about Monday afternoon? What about Tuesday when you get that phone call? What about whatever day? Can these bones live? Can these bones live?
Yeah,
get a couple of notes.
Yeah, okay.
Look what the bones are saying. Verse 11. He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Yes, people of God. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. We're cut off from the source of our life. We're cut off from hope. Something is not able to feed the real need here. That's what they're saying themselves. It's impossible. What's Ezekiel's answer? Son of man, can these bones live? Back verse 3. So I answered, oh Lord God, you know. Now how do you think he said, you know? You know. You know. Somewhere in between there. You know. In other words, I'm not going to answer that myself. But I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate for you to give me the answer here. If I'm going to be your priest, then I'm called not only to bring the needs of the people before you, but I'm also to listen to you and bring that word to the people. You know, only you know. It's your call, Lord. Now, there's a real key here. He doesn't say Ezekiel, he says Son of Man. Son of man. Now we could say, yeah, on the one hand, your humanity, just who you are as a man. By your human knowledge, experience, your analysis of the problems. Maybe you studied medicine. Maybe you know all about the skeleton. Maybe you're an expert on bones. Maybe spiritually, you've gone to all sorts of conferences and you've studied whether bones can indeed come to life. You're an authority on these things, but the bones are still lying there. Maybe you've formed committees and you've probed the problems of dry, dead bones. Oh, I've been parts of many committees where we sought to find out what's the matter with this body. And it goes on. And on and on. Have you uncovered life's secrets? That's really what he's saying. Can these bones live? Do you know the essence of what is really required here? Now, who else called himself the Son of Man?
Jesus.
Ah, isn't that interesting? 600 years before Jesus comes. This is the first one to really, God says, Son of Man! That's what he calls him. Now, Daniel, at the same time, he's in Babylon, he picks up on this, and he has a vision in Daniel 7. He says, I saw the Son of Man. I saw the Ancient of Days on the throne, but I saw the Son of Man, and he came, and there was a kingdom given to him. Who's that? Who's that Son of Man? Jesus. Jesus came into the earth. The Son of God. The gift of God. The Father. Did he just come with, here's tickets to salvation. Anybody want them? No. He came and he laid his life down. If you can receive the Son of Man. Interestingly, a couple of times he called himself the Son of God, but never really, not that much. One or two times. Muslims really have a problem with that. He's not God. He's not in the flesh. Oh, come on, the scripture. Basis of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. See, the Spirit says yes, and we say amen. It's very clear to us. It's not confusing. Now here, 600 years ahead of time, you say, Son of Man.
Really what he's doing, he's pointing right through Ezekiel and he's pointing to Jesus Christ. He's pointing to the cross. Can these bones live? When he asks the question, he's already got the seed of the answer in it.
I like how God works that way.
You know, Jesus spent more of his ministry asking questions, telling parables, stories. But usually he'd ask a question to get to the real heart of what's going on in the individual's life. And he's doing kind of the same thing here. Ezekiel, what's your vision? If you're coming in a relationship, then even when you see dry bones, you're going to see somehow by the faith of the living God. Can these bones live?
Yeah, come on. Of course, it's in you, God. You know.
I was in Nepal.
Maybe I shared this with me.
You went on this up here about the Father's heart. What is the main thing that the early church preached and were witnesses to in the book of Acts? I was teaching in the book of Acts. I was teaching in a Buddhist kingdom, in a Hindu kingdom. And all of a sudden, yeah, I knew this in my head, but all of a sudden, that's Revelation, the apocalypse that we heard about last night, that taking away of the veil came on. What's the greatest message over and over again? Whatever they preached, what did they go back to?
Jesus risen.
The resurrection. Now, sometimes I hear all sorts of things, you know, nice answers, like, you know, love one another and Jesus. That's good. Okay, those are all good. But if you search out what they preached, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, what's he basically saying? He says, you guys are trying to figure out all this tongues, but you're hearing the works of God, and what's he saying? This same Jesus who you crucified, God has raised from the dead. You see, the resurrection is not an opinion. The resurrection is an historical fact. It's time to get back to our roots, saints. It's the roots that produce the fruits. And we have a habit of getting distracted. You know, when I ask that question, how many wings does an eagle have? Yeah, some people, well, it's two, I know, but that's such a simple question. That's a trick question. And people don't step out because they think that I'm trying to complicate things. And that's what the world does. And that's how we're trained, to think that way. And God, he just does this amazing thing called the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's prophesied all the way through the scriptures. It's the high point of history. Hallelujah. Yeah, it still is. Nothing much better has ever happened. It's all the fruit of the resurrection. Amen? I mean, and it's not just, well, how many here think of the resurrection happened? And 51% of the people put their hands up. Oh, that's true. It must be true. No. It's not because 51% agree. It's a historical event. It took place. Now, if it didn't take place, we might as well pack up and go home here right now. Yeah? Because if Christ be not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the whole thing hinges on the fact that God became flesh, dwelt among us, died for our sins, and because he was sinless, a pure sacrifice, death could not hold him, and he rose from the dead. Hallelujah! We should all clap and rejoice in that. Now, is that so complicated? No. And that's the message that God is using right now to cut through these nations in the world. Is Christ risen from the dead? When a Muslim sees that, because that's directly the opposite from what the Quran teaches, the Quran says that Jesus didn't even die on the cross, let alone rise from the dead. That's what a great lie it is. Do you know that the truth will always outshine the lie? It's always going to overcome. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So instead of us trying to figure out the darkness and overcome it, why don't we just turn on the light? That's what God did. He turned it on and says, I'm risen. I'm here. Who's got eyes to see me? Who's got ears to hear? Amen. Yeah. And he says, that is a revelation. That's an apocalypsis. Now, see, in our culture, we've come to the place when Pastor Ted mentioned that word apocalypsis last night. I think someone, oh, the apocalypse. You know, we got visions of... I went looking for a DVD called The Apocalypse one time. It's one of the best movies out there on the book of Revelation, the visions. And this is a few years ago. I knew this DVD store had it. And so I looked and I couldn't find it. So I went to the lady at the counter. I says, where is this copy? She looks up. Yeah, you see her? Yeah, it's under the horror science fiction. You know, so we bought into the whole culture. And instead of releasing faith and love, it's bringing fear even to the body of Christ. And we hear apocalypse and we go, oh no, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the world's coming to the end. But we're influenced by the world then. And God says the strongest influence on our lives should be the Word and the Spirit. Hello? Yeah, he says, I'm doing. You know that new thing I prophesied in Isaiah? I did it at the cross and the resurrection. It's here. It's here. I make all things new.
Yeah.
So, can I make these bones live?
Yes.
Yeah? Come on. Really? Really? Okay. Son of Man, see, he's pointing already to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the resurrection. In the question is the answer. Well, he says, Son of Man, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Don't just hear it with these ears. Hear it in the innermost part of your being. Hear it right in the marrow, where the life is produced in the bones. You see, it's the bones that actually have this capacity inside them to produce this life. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. See, here's God telling Ezekiel exactly what to prophesy. He says, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews, muscle on you, and will bring flesh upon you, skin, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. See how he says twice, I'm going to put breath in you? Who? Where does the breath of God come? Spirit. The Spirit of God. Then you shall know. Then you shall know. I already know what I'm doing. But you'll know then that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. You know, we need more prophets that prophesy as God commands. Because that word will not be empty. And that word will not be in vain. Because the Spirit of God will come. And it won't just be a bunch of empty hot air. It'll be actually filled with the life of God. Prophesy as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. Can you see it? Man, he's giving us a detailed picture here of how bones are transferred into what? But there was no breath in them. Isn't it amazing? You can get all the bones gathered together. You can put skin muscle on them. Can look really nice, but if there's no breath in them, you might as well have it in a morgue on a slab. It's a corpse. Sometimes the body of Christ is like that. It's gathered together, bone to bone. But there's no spirit. There's no moving of the spirit. There's no life in the body. It's dry. Why? Well, they've got a good word wing. But the word without the spirit is dry dead legalism. Now, the spirit without the word is license. It's like, forgive me, Father, for the sin that I'm about ready to do. Neither one is better than the other. Neither one will produce life. You'll either have a corpse or you'll have a bunch of hot air. Well, he prophesied. But there's no breath in them. The bones are all together. Looks good.
on Sunday morning. Looks good. Cemetery. Filled with saints. I'd like to preach there. No interference. All the saints gathered. Nicely preached. Prayed in order. Talk about a place that needs resurrection. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Okay, so we got the bones together. We got the body together. But now, you need to prophesy to the breath. The spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Now he's learned something over the last 20 years since he's been in ministry. He's learned something. It isn't that nothing hasn't happened. He's been changed. Have you been changed? Are you changed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God? Are you sensitive? Does God speak to you and you say, well, I got to pray about it? Who are you going to pray to? He just spoke to you. God's training his people to be sensitive to his spirit as he speaks, as he breathes. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Wow, he got more than he bargained for. He didn't just get a corpse all of a sudden standing up in the morgue. He got an exceedingly great army, powerful army, standing up and filling this valley. Oh, wow, come on, can you see it? Hallelujah. There was a noise. There was a rattling. There was a bone joining to bone. There was sinews. There was flesh. There was skin. There was breath. There was an army. Hallelujah. Well, last night, when we were praying with different people here, I wasn't planning on preaching this tonight, but so many people came up and they had problems in their joints. Problems in their joints. And I heard the Spirit of God say, that's my body. You got problems in your joints. You got problems in how you're joined together. And so if you constantly are unwilling to be joined together, you will have aching in your bones. And the Spirit of God can come and blow on you, but you're not joined together. And so you don't produce the life. And yeah, I'm not sorry. I was going to apologize. But no, I believe that for the good news. I'm a child of the good news. I'm a spiritual child of the good news. I was born again. I shared my testimony. I was born again 42 years ago down here, down the roadways. God came into my life by the Spirit. I didn't know what I was doing. He blew into me, blew everything apart. Basically, I died. I was reading Genesis 3:6, and I saw that was the tree that I'd been eating of all my life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'd been like Eve, out of focus. The tree of life is really at the center of the garden, but the devil came and said, what about that tree? And that's what he does with us. He gets us out of focus. He gets us distracted. He gets us focused on other stuff, and we still try to do it all, but really then it's broken and it dies. And I basically died that day. All my life was drained out until he sent me on a little excursion and adventure down to Vatican Bowl. And I was looking for some people. I thought I was looking for some people just to tell them I'd take care of their goat farm. All the while, the Spirit is coming. I have no idea what I never heard of tongues or anything. What's going on here? I'm a babbling idiot. 45 minutes, this is continuing. I finally get there. I see the people, but I see my best friend who I traveled with, and we've been on journeys of looking for the truth. The truth. See, truth needs grace. Grace and truth. God had to circumvent my mind and get the grace moving. And then all of a sudden I run up to him. He says, go tell him what's happened. And the words come out of my mouth. Just simple obedience. I've given up the pursuit of knowledge. And I've found the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Thank you, sister. I said, I blew up. My friend said, what? I said, what? And all of a sudden it was, that's it. I'm a child of the Kootenays, of the 70s. Today we were having breakfast. And the same kind of thing came out because within 2 or 3 years, my friend Ed's here too. He was born again, saved the same time. And it was like, okay, well, what do we do now? Young man asked me, is that all there is? Is this it? Do we just come week after week, 1 hour, read this, pray this? Is that all there is? Isn't there more? Well, my pastor said, yes, there was more, but it's down in Vancouver. Oh, really? I don't want to go to Vancouver. Can you do this here? Do what? Train me up. Cause me to come from a child to a son to a father. Oh, I'm not against Bible schools. I love that Bible school. I went down there, and the first person I met was my wife. You know, when God's leading, good things happen, right? He brings it all together. But there's too many young people, even older people, in this whole area that are victims of stunted growth. They have not grown up. They haven't been mentored. They haven't been fathered and mothered. There's too much distraction that's going on in the body of Christ. I come here and it grieves my heart when I hear some of the stories of how the body of Christ has been fractured and bones lying in this valley. Dry bones. They get really dry when the sun that is so hot here that everybody likes in the Kootenays. It bleaches the bones. Takes the life right out of them. It's kind of like the body of Christ as it lies there in this beautiful valley, or valleys. There's a whole bunch of valleys. I came here originally, I didn't know it, but I was running from God and I ran right into God. Lots of people have done that here. Mine's not the only story. You know that. There's something about this place. Oh, I'm not going to go back to Indian myths and all that. I'm just going back. The presence of God is blowing through these valleys. He's blowing. And he's calling out different people. Can you see these bones? Can they live? Well, Lord, and we offer up our excuses. Well, this has gone on for years. It's always been that way. You know, this is how we do things. Can these bones live? Can God bring a revelation of the resurrection? It's the beautiful part of the province. There are a lot of secrets here that God wants to reveal openly. Yeah, it's a beautiful valley. There's a lot of mountains here. That's what makes it so beautiful sometimes. Mountains are like things to overcome. Mountains can really curb your focus, your vision. You know, see, prairie people have a hard time with our mountains out here. Priorities. Sometimes we can't see beyond the first mountain. Divisions, distractions, narrow vision. Valleys, we only see, they're almost like blinders. Our own agendas. We get so caught in, well, this is what I really believe God wants to do, and we don't really see the rest of the body. We become victims of a history of rejection. Is that here? Moves of God that have gone through this valley, but somehow people say, well, Lord, we want to move with God, but not like that. Yeah, it's like those who are carried by the winds of
the Spirit are those who are born again. You know, we think people are a little flighty. We've become distracted, discouraged, disappointed.
And the blaze becomes burnt over this valley, very dry. And it becomes a real matter of just trying to exist, even spiritually. Instead of swimming, we're treading water. Our vision becomes very narrow. We become focused on ourselves, our own little body. I don't want to paint the picture so black, but man, it seems like sometimes I come back after 42 years. And sometimes I hear about the same kind of divisions that are going on. Even worse. So-and-so isn't talking to so-and-so because of so-and-so. It's a sickness in the joints. Where bone is joined to bone. And it's not enough to just for your own ministry. This is for the sake of the body and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? I was part of a church one time. I'm a Mennonite. I'm also a Baptist. I'm also a Pentecostal. Charismatic. I remember standing at the doorway to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem one day, and a man asked me, "Well, who are you? What are you?" And I said, "Well, I try to be a Christian." These were Orthodox, Armenians, Catholics. They were so impressed. He tries to be a Christian. And I wasn't even saved yet. God is looking for Christians. Followers of Jesus. There's too many divisions in the body of Christ. So I was part of this Mennonite church down in another valley, the Fraser Valley, where my natural home is, where I pastored for 25 years. And this church really, yeah, they were grounded in the Word, and they were having a real desire for a move of the Spirit of God. Hello? Are you hungry? Yeah? Come on. Are you hungry? They need the Word. Are you thirsty, though, too? You need both wings. Are you thirsty for the Spirit? You can't just say, "Oh, I really want to dig into the things of the Word, the deep things of the Word." Hey, the things, deep things of the Word are only understood by the revelation of the Spirit. So you need both. So God was stirring the pastor. And he was, I'd gotten to talk with him a few times. And there was a genuine desire for more. Now isn't that deep? More. That was his heart's cry. My wife was a part of his prayer team. And they would get together and they'd even pray that more. Wow. So they had three services. Two on Sunday, one on Saturday night. We would go on the Saturday service. There was a lot of young people that were also looking for more. They didn't know what that all looked like. They just felt that here was a place that was safe, and here was a place where, as God would move, sometimes there was at least a hope that he would be listened to and that something would really genuinely happen. And so we went through the song service. It was about 7:30, 8 o'clock. It was about April, there was only a couple windows in the place. The power went out. We don't know what happened. The power goes out. There's very little light coming in through these windows. The pastor's like, "What should we do?" "Let's take up the offering." You gotta take up the offering. First things first, come on. You know, I mean, if the power stays out and there's no more light, the people are gonna go home. So they took up the offering right away. And, what do we do now? I mean, they really didn't know what to do because, you see, their services were so scheduled. I remember one time I was the guest speaker, and it was like, you had so many minutes and so many minutes for this, and they had 2 minutes left over. And they didn't know what to do with the 2 minutes. So I said, "Well, why do you let the Holy Spirit do something?" "Oh, really? Do you think he does it?" And so it was like they had this little huddle, and what should we do? "Well, let's open it up. People can pray. So, come on up and pray." And so different people got up and they took the microphone and they began to pray. And
And I began to pray that God would blow on this church, and that he would make the people really hungry and thirsty, and he'd feed them with his love, and just gather them. I mean, really good prayers, right from the heart. And there was like four or five of them, okay? And I think the lights came on at that point. But by that time, it was too late for the pastor to preach his sermon because he had it all on PowerPoint. And so he hadn't been able to preach his sermon because he couldn't activate it. So they let it carry on. And when you let the Spirit continue to move, he's going to do things that maybe you're not too sure of. And all of a sudden, somebody over on the other side of this is like 600 people in the church. And somebody had a prophetic word. And he got up and he spoke this word. And I was like, oh. What was that? I mean, I'm used to that. I pastored Pentecostal charismatic churches, but these people weren't used to it. But they heard the word, and wow! Some people even clapped. That was so good. Well, I'm sitting there, and sometimes the word and the spirit, they kind of move together, right? It's called New Song. And pianist is up there playing. And I'm getting words to the music she's playing. And it was Ezekiel 37. And I don't know if I can step out and deliver this message. That's where my wife was so good. She knew exactly what was happening. She put her hand on me. She says, "You're getting something, aren't you, Henry?" She said, "Go for it." So, as the pianist kept on playing, and I'm getting this tune, I stood up. I didn't have a microphone or anything like that. And I began to prophesy. Can these bones live? The Lord is moving through this church this evening. I don't remember what it all was. All I know is there was a word in the Spirit. And it all came about the body coming together and the bones and the flesh and the sinews and then a mighty army. And Mennonites are pacifists. And it was like, whoa, you mean we're a mighty army? And it was so good. And after I gave the song, people started responding, and people were praying for one another. And I mean, the whole evening was just working together so amazingly. I went up to the front of the pastor's there. Oh, Shandalabaku. And he's praying away and praising God. The guy had such liberty. And I prayed for him. I still remember when I prayed. Lord, protect this man. Because somehow, I think maybe, this is great and wonderful and joyous, but the enemy's not going to be too pleased here. Protect this man. Well, pretty soon it became, were you there the night the power went out? Because that's the night the power came on. Unfortunately, that next week, some of the leading money people in the church who had a vested interest in keeping things dead, came to the pastor and said, "We don't want that. And we won't support that." I mean, all it was a genuine move of life. Shortly after that, our pastor had an emotional breakdown. It's pretty sad. And of course, we'll try to analyze it and reason it all out. I believe he came to the place where he just could not hold in balance what he really knew that God, who God was and what God wanted to do in his people. But he was frustrated.
Yes.
He was quenched. The spirit was quenched. And we say, well, we wouldn't do that. Quench not the spirit. Bible says. I was in Russia about 15 years ago. Got to teach in a Bible school in Lenin's hometown. Lenin, birthplace of the revolution. Still at that time, his statue was still up in the main square. God has such a sense of humor. They wouldn't let me stay in the hotel where I was teaching, because it was called the Communist Hotel. I was teaching Bible school in the Communist Hotel. Oh, I mean, that's funny. So I walked through the square every morning, and I learned a little bit of Russian, right? And so I greet Lenin's statue, and I'd say, "Oh, dobry utro, gospodin. Lenin, you are leaning a little bit more every day." He's gone now. After I was there for a week and a half, he asked me to come and share at a ministerial meeting. Pastors were going to get together, and it was just a year or two since they'd have any real freedom. Evangelicals, Pentecostals, Methodists, Charismatics, there was about a dozen pastors, and it was really one of the first meetings that they'd ever had. And their purpose was they wanted to celebrate Christmas together. Did I tell you this story? No? Okay. All right, sometimes I can't remember where I told it. This seems appropriate. And they couldn't even agree on the date that they would celebrate Christmas, whether it would be the Western date or the Orthodox date. And as I sat there, I could understand some of the Russian, but I had an interpreter with me. I could read their body language. But it came out more and more. And the Orthodox priest was there. And for some, that was a real problem. But the Lutheran pastor didn't like that the Methodist pastor was there because she was a woman. The Charismatic and the Pentecostal pastors didn't like that one another was there because they had a church split, and some of the people had gone from the Pentecostal church to the Charismatic church. About two or three of them didn't like the fact that the Orthodox priest was there, because he represented the establishment. And as the meeting went on, you could just sense that the tension was just growing, and the big thing became the date, and we couldn't even agree on the date. So as this was going on, I picked up on this, and I asked my interpreter, I said, "Could you ask them if maybe an outsider could share a word with you?" So she did, and they said, "Yeah." So Lord gave me this picture. He says, "Seems to me that when God writes a letter to his people in the New Covenant, he writes according to a geographical location. To the church that is at Ephesus, to the church that is at Philippi, to the church that is at Kootenays. He sees you. How do you see yourselves? And until you see yourselves the way that he sees you, you will continue to bicker and have your own infighting, and you will not be effective for the kingdom of God." Well, it was pretty quiet. It was quite evident. I didn't preach long service message. It was basically that. And then all of a sudden, one of the pastors said, "Duh." And then they just said, "Duh, duh, duh." And then the whole mood changed somehow. I mean, I don't know how much God used what I said, but it just helped to refocus. To refocus on the main thing. Always keep the main thing the main thing. Hello? Yeah? And that's how God sees his church. He sees us as one. Unity is not something you strive for. He says, endeavor to keep the unity of the faith. You cannot keep something that you don't have. Our unity, our oneness in Christ. And it's by their faith, their unity, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. So without that, we are just a bunch of wannabes. Sorry. Now, I got a question. If God sent a letter to his church in the Kootenays, who would receive it?
There's seven letters in Revelation. Do you know that the church of Laodicea didn't receive it? You know that one about the lukewarm? You're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Well, that's not us. If God wrote a letter to the church in the Goodies, what would he say? I'll let you fill in the blanks. I know that he'd talk. You know, he'd say, to my loving sons and daughters, my wonderful children, I love you with all my heart. Would he qualify it like some of those letters say? But there are a few things. Would we be able to receive that? The church in Russia received that. It was amazing. A month later, I found out that they did in fact have their Christmas celebration. And not only did all the pastors and their congregations get involved, but the Orthodox priest preached. And there was unity that came about in what used to be the center of communism. You know, there was a big, they bulldozed all the churches there in communist times, and they built a big temple to Lenin. And that's where they would bring the young people and indoctrinate them in communism. And as you indoctrinate the young people, you don't just indoctrinate by filling their heads with all sorts of funny teachings. You indoctrinate them most by your personal example. Indoctrinate? No, you teach, you train them. My life verse is 2:22. 2:22. Sorry, you guys. See, I need an easy verse. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same you commit, now Paul's writing to Timothy, to faithful men who will commit to others also. See, God's got a long-term vision. He sees beyond this next mountain. He sees beyond that. And he sees generations after generations. What was the title of what we're doing here this week? Fathers and sons, overcoming by grace, right? And so it gets communicated by example, by word and spirit. And when we receive it, can these bones live? Well, they're going to live. They're going to live beyond just one generation. There's more than one generation's bones accumulated in the valley. Only God can join bone to bone. And it's in the joints that I believe that life is reproduced. God's after reproduction from generation to generation for sons and daughters, children to become sons and daughters and fathers and mothers who have the maturity to reproduce in like manner. It's like a marathon race, a relay marathon race. The most important part, you watch the Olympics? See the relay races? What's the most important part of the relay race? Passing of the baton. All you have to do is drop it one time, the race is finished. Isn't it amazing that in 2,000 years, the Church of Jesus Christ has been running this race? I study church history. God is building his church. The knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ is filling all the earth. Yeah. Hello? Can you see it? Oh, Islam is going to conquer the West. No, it isn't. No, it's empty. It's lifeless. Only the body of Christ. Only the body of Christ has that inherent life in the seed and the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is moving through this place. He's blowing through this place. And he's saying, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, can these bones live? Yes. We can't just give them an excuse. Well, my brother and sister won't talk to me.
Oh, really?
Well, then you go talk to them. Go make it right. Go make it right in this valley. Go make it right. He's your brother. She's your sister. Don't let a secondary thing, don't let a minor distraction become the main attraction so it takes you away from what God is doing in this earth, in this valley. Three things for the church in the Kootenays that I've got. Pray. Pray. Call this valley back to its identity. In Jesus Christ. Call the believers back. When you're praying, that's the first thing. First thing, prayer.
That's Jacob's ladder, up and down, angels descending, angels ascending, prayers, prophecies, coming both ways, both ways. It's communication, relationship. Did we hear that yesterday? See, relationships get broken so easy, and then the body doesn't live. The body gets disjointed and lies there in pain. Especially when the leaders and the pastors are not hearing the word of God and just simply obeying it. Call the church back to its roots. Any radicals here? That's one. Any radicals here? Yeah. God's looking for some radical revolutionaries. You know what a radical means? Well, commonly it's like somebody who's really extreme, right? Radical. Going back to your roots, as in radish. Yeah, that's what a radish is. It's radical. All that food is in its root. God showed me that we are like trees. The triune God is like a tree. The fruit on the branches, the vine, the trunk, and the roots. Pentecostals, really good, looking for the fruit. But if there's something wrong with the fruit, you don't just take off the bad fruit and try to paste on other good-looking fruit. Evangelicals, really good on the vine, on the trunk, Jesus. But it's the vine that holds up the branches, and it all comes from the root, and that's the relationship with the Father. That's why he calls us sons and daughters. And until we all see that we have this common relationship, and that really the greatest commandment is love one another. How? As I have loved you. See, before it was two commandments. Jesus summarized them. Love God. Love your neighbor. How? As yourself. How many of you have loved yourself? Some of us too well. Some of us not very well at all. And we love our neighbors like that. All Jesus was doing was summarizing the Ten Commandments in two. Towards God and towards one another. But when he came into the earth, he spoke a whole new thing, and it actually became life. How did he love you? How? Come on, somebody. How does he love you? Yeah, fill this space. Come on. Wow, how does he love you?
Abandoned.
Oh, come on. And then you go just a few verses. He loved us as the Father has loved him. So the tree draws from the roots and produces the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Simple. Not easy. Pray. How many of us can covenant to pray? Really? I mean, I'm not saying start a prayer meeting. I mean, it's time for the body of Christ to rise up and pray. Pray the unity of this body in the Kootenays. Pray your identity. Call this body back to its roots of who we are in Christ. That does away with the divisions. Call this body back to its geographical center. That we are not fragmenting this body on the lines of our identity is not that I'm a Baptist or I'm a Pentecostal or I'm a Methodist. We are one in Christ. Amen? Secondly, pray, prepare. If we will not hear this and simply obey it, there will come a crisis that will make us do this. That happened in the Soviet Union. I tell you, they really appreciate their liberty now. Russia really appreciates its liberty. For 7 years, they didn't have it. Oh, so many of us, you know, we're ready to get on a political bandwagon. Oh, this is wrong, and we'll fight against these rights, and we'll... But are you praying? Are you preparing? Are you preparing? I mean, God is in control. He's on the throne, amen? Ask Ezekiel. It's the first vision he gets. Pray, prepare. Be ready to give what it will take. You really, how many really want unity in this valley? I mean, unity not just where we show up together at a meeting and we put on a face. I mean, no, so the Holy Spirit can flow. That's why I got saved in this place. The Holy Spirit was flowing on September the 2nd, 1974. And it was liberty to bring a poor lost guy, a lost hippie, into the kingdom of God. I'm forever grateful. And so I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to come back here and not just preach at you. I'm sharing my heart with you. Just that you really touched me this morning with that, Gary. Because that's the heart of the Father. That's the heart of the Father. And isn't that what Pastor Ted was ministering last night? You know, babies, sons, daughters, grow up, fathers. You have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome. You have overcome. In the world, you will have trials. In me, you have peace. So, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's pretty simple. We take our stand with Jesus Christ. Pray, prepare. Number three, prophesy. Now, does anybody see a pattern here? Pray, prepare, prophesy.
Yes. Three P's.
Three P's. Okay. Pray, prepare, prophesy. God's still on the throne. He's ruling the world from the phrase, and he's ruling this valley. He's ruling all the valleys in BC. Some people just don't see it yet. He sees the big picture. The resurrection's already happened. Go out. Go out and claim the spoils. No, go out and claim the new life. Now keep it simple. Keep it simple, not just in what we preach. Keep it simple in what we pray. Keep it simple in having our hearts prepared as God sends us out into people's lives. They need a word in season. Last year when I was in Nepal, maybe I did share this with you, but I'm going to share it again. A year before, I was teaching in the school, and there was a young man named Nietzsche, and he had just been saved. For a few weeks. He had been totally like he was on his deathbed. All of his vital organs were shutting down. His doctors couldn't help him. The witch doctors couldn't help him. And a Christian heard that he was sick. So the Christian came and he prayed for him. And Nietzsche was instantly healed. I mean, instantly. And it was like, wow, who is this God? You know, this is, wow, Jesus, I want to know more about him. So within 3 weeks, he's in this training center, in this Bible school. And he's just talking about hungry, talking about thirsty. He was just soaking it in. I had it for 2 weeks, eh? I mean, there he was just sucking it out of me. And so after, they only have school for 3 months. So he was there for the 2 weeks I had. And then after 3 months, he went back home. Well, all of his family knew about him. And so they had become Christians. His closest friends and neighbors in the village, everybody knew Netra and what happened to Netra. And it was like, all of a sudden, he had an instant church. There was like 40, 50 people in the church. And because he was a little elder than everybody else, he became the pastor. That's what an elder really is. Somebody who's just a little elder in the things of God. Experience from a child to a son to a father. Wow, already he's a father? That's right, and the church has grown. A year later, I come back, I said to Brent, let's go see that church. Let's go visit him. Let's go find out how his church is doing. So I jump on the back of a motorbike. 2.5 hours on the back of a motorbike. Through the potholes. I mean, these things happen in third world countries. These are the highest mountains in the world, okay? You don't just kind of, oh, let's go for a little walk. I'm clinging on for dear life. And all the while, I'm praying and I'm saying, well, God, what am I going to share with these people when I get there? And all I get is the word resurrection. Got it? I get there, and sure enough, the name of the church is Resurrection Church. I'm going, oh, cool. That is really good. So, Wednesday, noon, and there's about 20 people there, 10 women and 10 young men. Young men are getting saved over there. That's really amazing. I love when women get saved. But somehow, they just don't carry the same authority on them And it's like when young men, that's why he writes to these young men. And he's saying, I mean, and the women are rejoicing that their sons are getting saved. And they're crying out. They gather together and they pray now. I'm really encouraged. They have a worship time. They sing a few songs. It's all in Nepalese. I don't understand what's going on. Prem interprets a bit for me. Then he says, okay, Henry, share what's on your heart. So I share the message on resurrection. Oh, that's good. Now let's pray for them. So we're praying for different ones. And yeah, spirit's moving and it's good. Now, most Nepalese look Indian in their natural features. But about 10% look very Chinese, Mongolian. And there was a young man who was sitting on the floor, and he looked very Mongolian. He looked different from the rest. And as I came to him, and I simply laid my hands on him, and as I laid my hands on him and I prayed in tongues, because I didn't really know what to pray, and all of a sudden he stood up and he started walking. And all of a sudden, all the women went crazy. And I was like, well, and I'm going, oh, Prem, what's happening? Ask the women. He goes over and comes back to me and he says, wow, this is really amazing, he says. 1 month ago, this boy, he's about 14 years old, was a quadriplegic. He had no life in his arms or in his legs. And his family couldn't take care of him any longer. They were so poor, they didn't know what to do. So they brought him in a basket, and they put him on the steps of the church. And they left him there. Isn't that amazing? They knew where to bring him. They left him there. And the church took him inside. And for 1 month, they'd been praying. And praying, reading the word over him, and praying and prophesying. And they had seen him just really begin to blossom up, and that day he took his first steps.
Wow.
I never knew anything about it. I'm going, hallelujah! Well, how much more? Son of man, can these bones live?
Wow.
Can these bones live?
Yeah.
Prophesy!
Yes.
Pray! Prepare! Prophesy! It's in the joints! It's in the joints! It's in the joints! Come on, take somebody's hand. Join, 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 join. 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 It's in the joints. Oh, yeah. Come on. It's in the joints. Yeah, God wants to produce the life here. He wants to produce the life here. Oh! And when the juices begin flowing in the joints and the marrow, and the Word of God cuts through right to the very heart and the very intent, and it gets right through our own agendas, and we lay them down and we say, not my will, Lord, but yours will be done. Then all of a sudden there's a rattling and there's a shaking. There's something greater than an earthquake that starts to take place, because the body of Christ becomes joined. Whoa, bone to bone. Can you see it? Can you see it in this valley? Hello? Can you see it? Right now, cover where joint is not joined. Cover it. So each of you know a place there. Cover it right now by the blood of Christ. Yeah, and as you see that covered and you see that healed, yeah, come on, let's rise together. Shut up. Let's rise together. Let's rise in the healing of Christ. Let's rise together. Let's rise together. Hello? Let's rise together. Oh, but I can't do it because I'm dependent on, yeah, that's right, you're joined. You join. This is a corporate thing. That's right. Can you see it? It's happening. It's happening. Shandarabakui, it's happening. It's happening.
You just keep joining your hands. Because there's three things to prophesy. You prophesy to the bones, you prophesy to the breath, and you prophesy to the grave. Okay? The joints. Okay, the word dry bones, it doesn't just mean they were dry. If you look at the Hebrew word, it actually means they've been made dry. They've been made ashamed. They've been made confused. This is the Hebrew word. They've been made disappointed. They've been made to fail, to dry up as in lose their water. They've been made to wither. So, right now, we prophesy.
Come on.
to relationships.
Come on. Yes.
But in order to do that, we have to command shame, confusion, disappointment, failures, distractions, disconnections, discouragements. They are not important. Leave. They are not important. Leave. The shame that has come to the joints and the relationships and the kootenies is not important. Leave. The confusion that entered into relationships in the kootenies is not important. Leave. The disappointments that entered into the relationships in the families and the lives of the kootenies are not important. Leave. The failures that have entered into the relationships of the families, the expressions of the body in the kootenies is not important. Leave. The distractions that have entered into relationships in the body of Christ in the kootenies is not important. Leave. The disconnections that have happened in the relationships in the kootenies is not important. Leave. The discouragements that have happened to the relationships in the body of Christ in the kootenies is not important. Leave. Now we flood the relationships of the bones. We speak to the bones right now. We prophesy to the joints, the connections. We prophesy that in the joints, in the connections, dreams can live again. Vision can live again. And it's not about ministry, it's relationship. It's relationship that each bone induces its joining joint to dance. Each bone joins to another bone, and each part does its share. And each share induces the other share to come to life. We prophesy the relationship. We prophesy relationships. Human relationships in the body of Christ to come together supernaturally. Supernaturally. Can these bones live? Come together, bones, in Jesus' name. We let go of the past. We let go of the things that have made us dry. And we receive the flood. We receive the flood. We receive the flood. We receive the flood. The flood of life. We speak to the marrow. To the marrow. To the marrow of the bone. We speak to the marrow where life is produced. But we declare these relationships can live. We don't call them to be relationships as they have been. We call them to be relationships as they are. Made new. Made now. Made living. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we prophesy to the breath. A relationship with God. We prophesy to the bones. A relationship with one another. But now we prophesy to our relationship with Holy Spirit, with Father God, with Jesus in His presence. We declare to the breath, come into these bones now. We speak to the breath. As these bones come together, we declare there is sinew, there is muscle, there is flesh, there is bone to bone. Now we speak to the breath that there's a fresh relationship with God that's coming into every room of the family of God in the kootenies. We speak to the church of the kootenies. We speak to the church of the kootenies. We speak to the church of the kootenies. We prophesy, we declare, breath, 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 breath. Breath! 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 We declare that breath shall come into these bones. Breath shall come into these relationships. Breath that causes there to be the root that produces the fruit, that our alignment is now with the Father. We are children of God. We have a Father who loves us. We are children of God. We have a Father who loves us. We are children of God. We have a Father who loves us. We are children of God. We have a Father who loves us. Now we prophesy and we say to them, we say to the graves, we say to the places of the deadest of death. And even as that living water would go and cause the deadest of places to become springs of life in the barren places, even as the water would come and cause it to be a gathering of life where there is no life, we declare, even as was declared in these words of Ezekiel, we say, thus said the Lord, behold, O my people of the kootenies, I will open the graves and I will cause them to come. now, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, oh my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will be a place in your land. You shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Thus says the Lord. We declare to the graves. Now, up from the graves of the Kootenays shall rise a mighty army. Up from the graves of the Kootenays shall rise the sons and daughters. There shall be children. There shall be fathers. There shall be young men. There shall be young women. There shall be overcomers. For grace shall prevail, and the word shall not fail. For the Lord has declared this day that mercy has triumphed over the judgments of the past, and grace is empowering the activations of the future. For the day is at hand, and the day is now. Up from the graves there shall arise a mighty army. Up from the graves there shall arise a mighty torrent, and it shall bring forth the goodness of the good news of the victory. For you shall be known as a people that you have overcome by that which the Lord has done for you. You shall overcome by that which the Lord is giving you. And you shall overcome by that which you shall do for him. For this is a day of great triumphs of God. And the Kootenay shall rise in a new victory. Not a restoration of what was, but a revealing what I've never been before. And there shall be no end to the increase. It shall be more and more. It shall be more and more, says the Spirit of life. Give him glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Come on. Are you ready? Come on. We're going to pray. Prophesy. Then dry bones. Ezekiel prophesied. Dry bones now. Hear the word of the Lord. Speak to your own bones. Come on. We speak to the joints.
Up to the graves and the bones. It's true now, see the word of the Lord.
You got to move.
You got to hear the word and move. Hear the word and move.
Some of you are just moving.
Move and hear the word of the Lord. I heard, and I'm not the same. I heard, and I'm not the same. I heard, and I'm not the same. I hear the word of the Lord.
Merch! Oh, come on!
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you got the word of God.
Whoa!
Come on, Sky!
Oh, boy!
Oh, boy!
It's time to spread a man, rise up. It's time to spread a man, rise up. It's time to spread a man,
rise up
and see the glory of God.
You can clap with your wings. Wings are clappable.
Oh!
Thank you, Lord. You know, He's released a new song in our midst. He's never been sung here before.
The words are different.
That's what the new song is all about. You can't sing a new song and remain dead. Well, I wasn't dead.
Yeah.
But who wants more life? Who wants more life? Let it flow. Yeah, when the life flows. The dead are raised. The blind see. The deaf hear. Yeah. And there's a walking, living army throughout this valley. And you see it. Whoa. You know, and I believe sometimes it's the so-called weakest ones that are going to show forth the glory of God. Yeah. It's the ones like that young man. I can't wait to get back there in Nepal this year. And see what a transformed life has done even more in that community.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I can come back next time and tell you. But that's what God is doing. He's taking the weak, and He's filling them, He's transforming them. Amen. He doesn't just say, oh, well, overcome. He says, no, you are more than a conqueror. Yes. You are an overcomer through Jesus Christ. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
How do you follow that up? What a blessing there.
Come on, Dad!
You know, these two men are so gracious. Every year they come. God bless Henry. You know, he's off to Europe. Ted's off to Europe. They're all around the world. And it's through our gracious giving that they continue to plant seeds around the world. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for coming out. And, I mean, this is a unique little house. Because we're unique, it can be real. So I want to thank each and every one of you. God bless you all. And we'll close this service. You're more welcome to coffee at the back, and tea. You can stay and chat if you want prayer. I'm sure we'll gladly come up here and pray for you. And you know what?
A little prayer with her.
If your bones are wet, there's something that'll dry, you got a problem. God bless you. Thank you very much for everything. Your grace last 2 days. And look forward to seeing you next Saturday, 6:30. Be blessed. And it is recorded, Ted?
It is, yeah.
It is. We'll get it. So we'll get it. Week or two
the next couple of days, yeah, it'll be on.
If you need it, so you'll have it then. Mark, you're on the web. Yeah, it'll be on the Ask Fair Christian Fellowship webpage, so then you can pull it off on there.